Well, good morning. It's good to see you on this Remembrance Sunday. I'd like to add my welcome to that of Fiona. A special welcome if you're new as well. I hope you're enjoying being with us this morning. So a short reading today, and for those that have been around for a number of weeks, we are looking at the characteristics of God. And there is a fascination with a particular virtue at the moment. Just this week, it popped up again in the media. I don't know if you know what it is. If you take a look at our rota, you might guess. But all the big Christmas ads have been released this week. But many of the big superstores, many of the big department stores that come in strong at Christmas with glitzy ads have taken a different approach, sensitive to the hardship that many feel this Christmas. And probably the most famous ad of all, which one is it? John Lewis. Everyone waits for the John Lewis ad. And I saw on Twitter that the John Lewis ad is not to be one watched in public. A friend of mine said she did proper ugly, kind of snotty crying in the hairdressers when she watched the John Lewis ad. If you haven't seen it, I won't spoil it for you, but it is definitely different to previous ads. And John Lewis released a statement, and they said it's their advert this year is less about buying things and more about kindness. More about kindness. Kindness seems to be a thing right now in our society. A little while ago, the BBC commissioned research into the virtue of kindness, and they've done a number of podcasts on their radio service and Radio 4, all about the theme of kindness. So, today, I have a question for you. Is God kind? Do you think that God is kind? And I suppose the natural follow-up question to that would be, is God kind? And why does it matter? If we're looking at the characteristics of God, is one of the characteristics of God kindness? But before we look at that, I want to show you a poem. It's going to come up on the screens. And it's by a slam, a poet. I don't know if you come across slam poetry. I think it's basically poetry that has a rhythm but does not rhyme. And this poem is called Maybe. And it was written by a slam poet called Harry Baker. He is no ordinary slam poet. He's in fact the world grand slam poetry champion. That is a thing that exists, and he is the world champion at it. And he wrote this poem for someone that he knew that was being bullied, which I can testify. I've got personal experience that being bullied is a very unkind experience. So we're just going to take a minute or so to watch this poem. I would look him up. He's fabulous. I don't know if you noticed that he had the word love written on his t-shirt. We'll come back to that in a minute. And he finished with the line, show kindness to yourself. And what a lovely, kind thing to do, to write something so heartfelt for somebody in such a difficult place. I first heard that about 6 years ago. I was at a faith and creativity and kind of culture conference, and he added that as a contribution. It ends with a call to kindness, and he was wearing, as I said, a t-shirt that I'm sure was intentional with the word love on it. But more on that in a minute. So what is kindness? Well, the Cambridge English Dictionary defines it like this: the quality of being generous, helpful, and caring about other people, or an act of showing this quality.
Some pastors and theologians describe kindness simply as this: love in action. Love in action. Michael Card, who's a scholar and a biblical scholar on kindness, says that kindness is defined in the Bible as this: when the person from whom I have a right to expect nothing gives me everything. When the person from whom I have the right to expect nothing gives me everything. These definitions remind us that kindness is something that we do. We often talk about acts of kindness. Maybe you've done a random act of kindness for somebody. I love doing these little unexpected things for friends or even strangers. Whether it's allowing someone to pull in front of me at a busy junction, or once when we were washing our car, our lovely neighbours joked that theirs needed doing as well. So when they went to the park, we kind of, as a family, kind of set to it and washed their car like little washing ninjas. Our kind of goal was to do it before they got back to see if they would notice. And we had such a blast doing it. It was fun. I remember receiving a really simple act of kindness once in an office where I worked. One colleague just decided to go in a little bit earlier than everybody else. And he put one Percy pig on each of our desks. And as each of us came in, we discovered this little Percy pig treat on our desks. Maybe you have, even this week, held a door open for someone, carried someone shopping, done something unexpected for someone just because you could. And the amazing thing is, even though we are putting ourselves out, we do something with no expectation of receiving anything in return, as the definition goes, I'm sure you know this feeling. It feels good. Feels good when we are kind to people. And there is a reason for that. There's a reason. Simon Sinek, he's an author and leadership expert. And he says there's a scientific reason for why we feel good when we are kind. When we are kind, a chemical is released in our body called oxytocin. The Harvard Health Journal says oxytocin is a hormone that's produced in the hippocampus, which I think is at the back of our brain or the front? At the back. Min says at the back. She did psychology. I'm going to trust that. And oxytocin is produced in the back of the brain, and it's released into the bloodstream through your pituitary gland. They go on to say that it is one of the four happy hormones. Oxytocin is a happy hormone. It's released when we are kind. It's released when we sing. So my encouragement is, if you want to be happy, sing when you come to church. There you go. It's released when we exercise. It's released when we have physical contact. It's released in huge amounts when a woman gives birth to a baby. Oxytocin is a chemical formula that connects us to one another, so the Harvard Medical Journal tells us. But there's more. There's more. Sinek points out that when we get a kind of shot of oxytocin, we get a shot of oxytocin when we receive an act of kindness, but we also get an oxytocin, you know, so when we receive an act of kindness, we get this kind of boost of oxytocin. When we do an act of kindness, we get a boost of oxytocin. So my office, when we all received our Percy Pigs, was a happy office that day, because not only did the person who was kind get a boost of a happy hormone, we all got a boost of a happy hormone because we received an unexpected gift. When we finished washing our neighbor's car, we were tired, but we were all very happy. But there's even more. You also get a boost of oxytocin when you witness an act of kindness. On a dark, I wouldn't normally share a story like this, but it makes the point, so I'm going to. Once on a dark winter's evening, I was going past a shop, and maybe you've been in this situation. There was someone outside just asking for help, you know, sat on the pavement. And it's a common sight around London. And anyway, I was heading in the shop, so I asked if this person wanted anything. Maybe you've done something similar. And I bought him a little something, and he was really grateful. Oxytocin all round. I felt good. He felt good. But then as I crossed over the road, someone in my family ran up to me that I wasn't expecting to be there. They were just in town as I was in town doing some shopping. And they ran up to me, and they were really happy. And they said, "Hey, Steve, I saw what you did just then a moment ago." And, of course, we never do these. It doesn't work, by the way, if you do it, if you think people are watching. Oxytocin is not produced. But I didn't know this person was there. They didn't know that I was going to be there. But they said, "Hey, that was really amazing what you just did. The crazy thing is you witness an act of kindness, and oxytocin is produced. As many of you know, Ted Lasso is my favorite TV show. It's on Apple TV. Season 3 is coming at some point soon. I'm really happy about that. It's one of the most watched TV shows on the Apple TV streaming service. It never drops out of the top 5. So I'm guessing people watch it again and again. I know that I have watched it on my own with different people. You know what? You want to know what the subtitle to Ted Lasso is? It's this: kindness makes a comeback. We feel happy when we watch people being kind. Kindness is a good thing. So back to our question: is God kind? Maybe for you, the jury is out on that. I don't know. But Exodus 4:34 would say so. How do we know this? Well, in these two verses, especially verse 6, the first verse that Wendy read, it is one of the most important verses in the whole of Scripture. Here's a geeky fact for you. Verse 6 is the most requoted verse in the whole of the Bible. It comes up again and again and again and again. The prophets quote it. The Psalms quote it. It's constantly used again and again in the Bible. It's the most requoted verse in the Bible. So by definition, it probably has to be one of the most important verses. And it is a description of who God is. We first encounter it here with Moses as he's going up the mountain to make a covenant with God. He's taking the tablets of stone, and God will write on them the Ten Commandments. He will receive the law, which makes up the first 4 books of the Bible. And in that moment, before any of that happens, God speaks these words. He says his name, the Lord. In Hebrew, that's Yahweh, Yahweh. The compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. The word love here that you saw on Harry's t-shirt is not romantic love or friendship love or even sacrificial love, which is the common use of the word love in the New Testament. That does come up in the Bible. All of those are in the Bible. But it's the Hebrew word hesed, which is a strange word, isn't it? It's a 3-letter word in Hebrew. And it can be translated loyal love, believing love, or simply kindness. Kindness. So Harry's poem about kindness, and he has the word love written across his chest. I don't think that was an accident. It's the equivalent to the word in the New Testament, the stories about Jesus, to the word mercy, which can also be translated loving kindness. One of the most important descriptions about God in the whole of the Bible says that a fundamental part of God's character is that he is kind. How are your oxytocin levels doing? The word hesed can be translated loving kindness, and it comes up time and time again in the teaching of Jesus. We see the hesed of God at work in what Jesus says and in what he does. The kindness of God is in the story of the prodigal sons. It's in the story of the Good Samaritan. Both tell acts of mercy. They're acts of mercy. They're acts of loving kindness. Though that's what's going on at the center of both of those stories. Both have within them a sense of promise-keeping loyalty, motivated by deep personal care. The Samaritan cares for the injured man. The father cares for both of his sons in spite of how they treat him. He is loyal to them. He keeps his promises to them. He is essentially a kind father. So let's go back to the mountain and to Moses. The people have in no way earned God's kindness. In fact, if you read before this, in the build-up to this, these amazing verses, they have been down the mountain while Moses has been up the mountain. They've been forming a golden calf that they can worship and give their loyalty to. They have not kept their promise to God, who promised to look after them, but God is up the mountain with Moses, in spite of their actions, keeping his promise to them, saying that he's going to be gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, they're going to need that, and full of kindness and faithfulness. God's character does not depend on how the people behave, and it did not depend on how the people were behaving down the mountain. And so often we see, because what will happen is they don't earn God's kindness, but they certainly will, as they grow in relationship with God, be transformed by his kindness in spite of their actions. Fast forward to the New Testament. I wonder if you remember the story of Zacchaeus. It's a story of God's mercy at work. It's a story of God's loving kindness. Jesus rolls into Jericho, and he wants, and Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. But because he's short, I can relate, he can't see over the crowds, so he climbs a sycamore tree. And we are specifically told by Luke that he was a tax collector. This was his job. Now, to be a tax collector in Jesus' day was to be a political traitor. We all know what happens to political traitors, don't we? Ones that go to jungles, they're not treated very well. He'd gone to the dark side, Zacchaeus, because he was a political traitor. He was an employee of the Roman Empire, and his job was to take the taxes from his own people and give them to Rome. And all of his community would have utterly hated Zacchaeus. He didn't deserve any good from anybody in his community. And so therefore, because he was the definition of a sinner, he had no friends. He was a sinner. He'd been pushed to the edge. But he'd heard a rumor that there was this rabbi coming that showed people like him mercy. And so Jesus walks by, stops, looks up, and notices him. Where everyone else had rejected him because of what he did, Jesus shows him mercy. He deserved nothing from Jesus. He had earned no invitation. He'd earned no notice. But from Jesus, we will discover that he receives everything. Jesus goes to his house for dinner. We don't know what they talked about. We don't know what happened. We don't know what was said. We don't know if there were tears or laughter. whether there was confession or silence on behalf of Zacchaeus. I imagine, I'm reading into it, I imagine Jesus listened. Whatever happened, Jesus demonstrated to Zacchaeus mercy. He gave him loving kindness. And it seems like the happy hormone of oxytocin was flying everywhere, because he gets up from the main course and offers the community the best dessert possible. He has experienced kindness, and from that place, he gives kindness. If I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. He also offers to give half of his possessions away to the poor. As an aside, of course, he's probably not getting paid hundreds of thousands of pounds to be there, and there are no television cameras, not judging or anything, but yeah, it's genuine. His act of kindness in receipt of kindness is genuine. And Jesus declares that he is a son of Abraham, that he is part of the family. He places Zacchaeus in that moment back into God's saving story. Zacchaeus, because of his actions, had been pushed to the margins. He'd essentially, today we would have said he'd have been cancelled. No doubt people looked down on him his whole working life, judged him, hated him. And a combination of his own choices and the rejection that he'd received from the community had turned him into a cold, angry, greedy man that exploited people for his own gain. What you also need to know about tax collectors is they were allowed to add on top of the taxes any amount that they liked and to keep for themselves. It was essentially a dishonest job. And so that's why he was really rich. But in a radical moment of kindness, everything changed for him and for others. And here's the thing. I imagine, as I've said, Jesus listened to Zacchaeus' story. I think we'd show, why does this matter? Because I think we'd show so much more love and kindness to people if we even got half a glimpse into what they were going through. I think a key thing in this encounter is that Jesus invited himself over for dinner. Jesus noticed Zacchaeus and he placed himself into Zacchaeus' story before he invited him into God's big story. He wore his shoes for a moment. He sat with him in his own story. I think that's such a beautiful thing for the King of the universe to do, for the God that shaped the stars, that made the mountains. He sat at the table of a sinner like Zacchaeus. He spent time with him. He listened to him. He took the time to inhabit his story. And it seems that this story of kindness changed everything. How long have I got? Time for a quick story. I remember helping at a kids' party. It was a trampoline party, and I was there to help as an adult. And I remember all of these kids gathering, but there was this kind of rumor going around that one of the kids was really difficult, notorious both at school and at parties. And this one child, this notorious child, had been invited to this party. And so I was a bit apprehensive because I'd heard the rumors that this child was really difficult. And I was in charge of the bouncing and I was worried that it was all going to be a nightmare. And just before the party started, I just thought maybe rather than being fearful, maybe I'll try something different. And I don't know why this thought came to my mind, but I just thought, I knew this kid's name. I just thought rather than kind of seek to contain this child like I was being told to, warned about, you know, this child needs containing, this child needs kind of, you want to be careful because this child's a nightmare. I just... I just noticed this child. And I asked them a few questions about who they were. And I suppose I took the time to kind of notice them and make them feel special, not at the expense of the other kids. But my first reaction, my knee-jerk reaction, was to contain them. But I thought, what if I just try bringing them in to the center of the story? And, you know, I don't know, it was an accident on my part in many ways, but it flipping worked. This child was a delight. This child was like an inch taller. This child just enjoyed spending time with the other kids. And at not one point were they a nightmare. Not one point were they difficult. Just because a stupid adult like me just offered them a tiny bit of kindness. So why is kindness important? Well, it's important because it's who God is. And we're made in the image of God. It's who God is. I'm not always kind. I've not actually been wonderfully kind the last few weeks, if I'm honest. But I look at Jesus, and it's who he is, and I'm made in his image. So maybe I need to become more of an image bearer. Maybe I need to become more of my true self more often than I do. And actually, it's important because genuine kindness has the capacity to change somebody's story for good. It's in the Bible. And we see it around, don't we, all the time. And also, the fun thing is kindness is catching. I've caught a cold and a cough this week. That's not great. But actually, kindness is just as infectious as a nasty cold and cough. We receive it because of nothing we've done to deserve it. But it is a superpower. Kindness is a superpower. And it has the ability to do us good. It has the ability to do other people good. And it even has the ability of those watching to do them good. But if you do it because people are watching, it doesn't work. The superpower bit of it is taken away because that's just pride. So this week, how about it? There's a few of us gathered here. Maybe we feel small and like we can't make a difference. But what if we took on the superpower of kindness? Because it is who God is. It is who we are. What if we had the opportunity to be kind? The opportunity to inhabit somebody else's story. I think that's the hard one, isn't it? The opportunity to receive and give kindness. Maybe you need to receive some kindness this week. Just like Harry was saying, maybe you just simply need to be kind to yourself. It would be easy for Jesus to have written Zacchaeus off, just like everyone else did. But Jesus was merciful. Zacchaeus did not deserve it, but Jesus did it anyway. And wow, a whole community was changed. Your act of kindness may not change a whole community, but it could bring a little bit of heaven closer to earth this week. Zacchaeus' story reminds us that showing kindness to others, especially those pushed to the edges, is at the heart of what it means to follow Jesus, because kindness is who God is. And we see through this story that kindness brings someone into the center of God's story and into the center of his heart. Over and over again, God says to the people Israel, that it's not their costly sacrifice of worship that impresses him, but that it's through being his people that we would offer blessing to others, loving kindness to others, especially to those on the edges. The Bible describes them as the widow, the orphan, the poor, and the stranger. And Jesus pushes it even a little bit further. And he says, even show love to your enemies. We can't do it without God's help, but we can do it with God's help, because God is kind. It's who he is.